This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, it's back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back.
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming to you from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Out here at the Ocean Course, getting ready for the 2021 PGA Championship. We'll be out here all week long. 25 hours of coverage right here on ESPN Radio Charleston. Brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise Vitamins. Say that five times fast. And Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Doing special shows on Saturday and Sunday. We'll be joined by Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor throughout and other guests as well. Getting ready for the PGA Championship beginning tomorrow. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They have been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S., and they provide residential and commercial roofing. In 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. Give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call, or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. Check out their incredible history online at bakerroofing.com. See all the different roofing types that are available online right there as well. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing. Online at bakerroofing.com, they bring you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. And for more information here on Freshfields Village, where we're set up, well, for one, you can come out and see us this weekend while you come to the PGA Championship. And when you do, come say hello. You can enter yourself to have a chance to win our championship gift pack, which includes a foursome to Stono Ferry. But head on over to freshfieldsvillage.com for more details and updates all week on what is going on around here in conjunction with the PGA Championship, as their championship week here at Freshfields Village is presented by First National Bank. We'll get to the Tony La Russa stuff in just a little bit and what's going on in baseball, because this is a weird trend that I think almost runs parallel with kind of what we've seen in society as well over the years. And even from 76-year-old Tony La Russa, even from the oldest manager in baseball, he's even getting involved in this nonsense. And we'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. But we started the afternoon talking about the play-in tournament, which I thought was a great idea for the NBA. And I think it is a great idea. I still feel that way. But last night was not a good start. I think tonight we'll get better games. I don't think Greg Popovich will lose to a young Grizzlies team. I'm looking forward to seeing Ja Morant play on a national stage. And I think the Lakers get past the Warriors. In fact, I would take the Lakers as the 4.5-point favorite. But with the way Steph Curry's been playing, right, if he gets hot, maybe he could be enough to try to take down L.A. tonight. I don't think it will happen, but I do think it will be a very intriguing game that tips off at 10 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Both games are on ESPN. Last night, those were not two intriguing games. They were two blowouts. And I want to start with the Hornets, who got embarrassed by the Pacers. That game was over in the first quarter. It was over from the opening tip. The Pacers had 40 points in the first quarter. They scored 144 points overall. It was the worst defensive performance of the year for the Hornets. And from an effort perspective, from a letdown perspective, it was probably the worst performance overall this year for the Hornets in the biggest game of their season, and they laid an egg. They have some young players on the team, and even their coach, James Burr, he's been around, but in terms of a head coach, he's more of a younger guy, even though he comes from the Popovich school. And for the Hornets last night, it seemed like they were just uninterested. And we see this from teams and from athletes. I shared my experiences earlier of when I was working back in the days of my time in minor league baseball. And minor league baseball can be such a grind. 140 games, long bus rides, late nights, early morning games in front of screaming kids, a lot of hours, only one day off a month. You know, for the players, they have more downtime and they're able to, especially, you know, I spent a lot of my career in Florida. Hey, you get to go to the beach on a day off. But it is such a long year, and it is work. Even though you are an athlete and you're playing baseball, you know, you still got to get to the ballpark, and you do your lifting, and you do your early BP, and all that sort of stuff. And by the end of this very long season, whether the team is good or not, doesn't necessarily matter. Whether that player had a good year or not, doesn't always matter. If the player had a tough year, they're even more anxious for the offseason. But even when a guy is a top prospect and he had a good season, and he's feeling good about his potential and his prospects and his future, even so, many guys, by the end of the year, are just over it. They're done with it. They don't want to participate in the playoffs. They've had enough. They've played enough baseball that year. They don't care if a championship's on the line. They just want to go home. And for the Hornets last night, that seemed to be the case. They knew that even if they won last night, and they'd have to go try to win again, and if they did, they'd only go up against the Sixers, and you're probably getting swept. You're losing in five games. It seemed like the Hornets had zero interest in going through all that trouble. It seemed like they just wanted to start their offseason after what has been a tough 12 months for everyone included, but especially the NBA. And maybe you can relate in that sense that it's been a tough 12 months for all of us in this pandemic. Maybe your job has become more difficult. Maybe you had to take a pay cut, whatever it may be. And wouldn't you, too, like to be able to kick your feet up and take some time off right now? And in terms of, you know, a paid time off, take a vacation. Wouldn't you like a vacation after the past 12 months we've all had to go through? And in the NBA, when I turned that game on last night after the Citadel baseball game, watched the Hornets, it seemed like they were looking forward to the offseason as well. They were looking forward to just kicking their feet up. This year was already a win for the Hornets, regardless of what happened last night. Just by getting there was an accomplishment. For LaMelo Ball and the season he had, that was already a win for him. He didn't have to prove anything last night, even if it was a quote-unquote postseason game. And for the Hornets, they seemed like they just didn't care to be there. Let's just head into the offseason and be better next year. Avoid this play-in round. Because Charlotte did not seem interested from the opening tip. The effort was poor. It was embarrassing. The defense was non-existent, even though the Pacers, you know, they're a scoring team. They're going to score a bunch of points against the Wizards tomorrow night. Both those teams play at a high pace. They play very fast. They score a bunch of points. Could be an exciting game. But it was a poor effort for the Hornets, and their season came to a sudden end last night in the first quarter. In the NBA, I've said this before, they have that saying, 1-2-3 Cancun when it comes to the playoffs. Right? You lose game one, you lose game two, you lose game three. Okay, forget game four. You're making your plans to go on vacation to Cancun. You don't care. And for the Hornets, they kind of got a head start on that. Because even if they won last night, and say they beat, it would be, what, the Wizards tomorrow night, that just gives you a chance to go. That's just for your invitation. It's like if you wanted to go to a party growing up and you weren't invited and you had to jump through hoops just to get an invitation. And you're like, forget that. Just to get invited before even having to go there, just to give myself a chance to potentially be invited to this party, I got to go do this, this, and this. Right, maybe the popular kid at school is holding it over your head. They say, oh, I'll invite you to the party, but you have to do me these favors. And you're thinking, that's not worth it. I got to do this, this, and this for that person just to have a chance to potentially go to the party. And in this case, the party is just more work for the Hornets. Then you go up against the best team in the East, the Sixers, and have to go try to win a bunch of games, try to upset them, try to avoid just getting swept in the first round and having your season end 2 weeks from now. And the only difference is that you did more traveling and more playing and more losing. The Hornets seem very uninterested in that. Right? If they won last night, they'd have to travel, go play in Washington tomorrow. If they won that game, they'd have to travel, go play in Philadelphia this weekend. It's like, ah, forget that. We've had enough fun this year. We did enough winning. We're ready to move on and enjoy our offseason. And it seemed like that was the way the Hornets handled it last night. That's the way the Hornets seemed like they wanted to interpret. That's how they looked at the play-in round last night. They were uninterested. They didn't care. In game two with the Wizards, it was another letdown in the second half for Russell Westbrook and Washington. I thought the Wizards would win that game. I thought the Wizards could make things interesting against the Nets if they got the opportunity to play them in the first round. But last night was another example. Russell Westbrook went 6 of 18 shooting. He's not a good enough shooter, and he's not good enough to win on his own. He has not won a playoff series without Harden or Durant in one stop or another. And this is another example. Unable to win at this part of the season, the most important games, without some sort of crime partner to help him out. And that was the case last night. Don't be fooled by the Celtics' performance. That was the Celtics we were expecting to see all year. Jason Tatum scored 50. Kemba Walker looked subtly healthy and good. Even Marcus Smart. But don't buy into that and believe that suddenly this was the Celtics team we were expecting and they could go compete with Brooklyn, because they can't and they won't. And the Nets are the team that should be, and I believe will be, holding the trophy at the end of the playoff. I look forward to hopefully more exciting games tonight. We're out here at Freshfields Village on Kiowa. I'll be hanging out all afternoon. Fan Talk's coming up, of course, at the top of the hour. And then as I head home later and turn on ESPN tonight and watch John Morant against Greg Popovich and watch Steph Curry against LeBron James, I hope we get some more intriguing games, because that's the idea of this play-in tournament. Last night was not a good start. It looked like he didn't have the buy-in. Not from the Hornets, and by the time the second half rolled around, the Wizards fell behind in Boston. It seemed like they weren't buying in either. But they realized, well, you know, we'll just play again in two nights and win that game instead. Let's start over in two nights instead of trying to come back from this deficit on the road. Tonight, I don't think you have to worry about that, certainly not in the Lakers-Warriors game. Steph Curry isn't going to let his team just go through the motions. You know LeBron and the Lakers aren't going to be sleepwalking out there. Those are two teams that truly will be playing for their postseason lives, trying to extend their seasons. And I think it will certainly be the highlight of this play-in tournament tonight at 10 o'clock on ESPN. And certainly looking forward to it. We'll have all reaction on the show tomorrow. When we come back, I know Greeny was talking about it the last 2 days, the show that comes on before us here on ESPN Radio, about this ridiculous situation that has become a whole thing. It's become a kerfuffle between the White Sox and the Twins, and it's a bunch of nonsense. And Tony La Russa, the manager of the White Sox, doesn't even have his players back. And this has become a trend, and I think a troubling one, in baseball. And we'll get to all of that. I'll give you my thoughts on that situation when we come back. We're out at Fresh Fields Village on Kiawah Island for the 2021 PGA Championship, which begins tomorrow, and we'll be here all week through Sunday on the radio, you know, as they crown a champion of this PGA Championship Sunday afternoon. Looking forward to it. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Mara Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It's the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up in just a moment, it's become, I guess, a troubling trend in baseball. I don't like it, and it's something the managers are doing. We'll get to that in just a moment here on the Mara Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Coming to you from Fresh Fields Village on Kiawah Island. Our coverage brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Fresh Fields Village on Kiawah Island, where we are located here all week long. 25 hours of coverage. Come out and see us. Have a chance to win a foursome at Stone Hill Ferry. All sorts of restaurants around, like King Street Grill, Fuji Sushi Bar and Grill, and Cantina 76 shops as well. I saw Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, I think it was, some sort of ice cream place, some creamery. They were taking photos over here earlier, advertising their ice cream. All sorts of different options for you out here this weekend when you come out for the 2021 PGA Championship, which begins tomorrow. All right, so there's been this big story in baseball. And we didn't talk about it yesterday because I didn't really think it was worthwhile talking about it. I didn't think it was much of an issue. And then Tony La Russa has just thrown like more gasoline into this fire, and it's become all sorts of a big ordeal and a big problem in the last 48 hours. And I know Mike Greenberg was talking about it on his show on Greeny before we came on the air. And I heard his comments yesterday, and I disagreed with him, where he thought that the player for the White Sox was in the wrong. In case you're unfamiliar with the situation, what happened was, two nights ago, the White Sox were beating the Twins by 10 in the ninth inning. The Twins had their catcher on the mound. They didn't want to use any more arms in the bullpen. It was a 3-0 count with two outs in the ninth. The White Sox were up by 10. And the pitcher, the catcher in this case, threw a 47-mile-per-hour Ephus pitch. And a Yermin Mercedes swung and hit it over the fence for a home run. And this apparently was an issue. So then last night, the Twins threw behind Mercedes. And Tony La Russa, in both instances, backed the Twins, the other team. He did not support his guys. Now, this is a bit of a long clip, but here was Tony La Russa after this home run, after the game. This was his press conference. He's seated a little too far from the microphone, so it's not the cleanest audio, but you can hear what he's saying. And this was Tony La Russa two nights ago after this home run was hit by one of his players against the Twins in a victory. And this was Tony La Russa's reaction to the 3-0 swing in the ninth inning.
I mean, you guys are zooming, so you're not at the ballpark. If you had been at the ballpark, just by the time the guy started making the pitch, I took several steps from the dugout onto the field yelling, take, take, take. Because just the way he was set up, it looked to me like he was going to swing. And the whole time he's around the bases, I'm out there and I'm, you know, I was upset because that's not a time to swing 3-0. And, as you know, I happened to look over there and I know the Twins knew that I was upset. Joe, give him the take sign. I just think Yermin was locked into he and Estudillo. You know, they know each other from different competitions, and he was locked in. And really, what he just I gotta get him. But he missed a 3-0 hit sign with that kind of lead. That's just it's not over. That's just sportsmanship, respect for the game, respect for your opponent. He made a mistake. So, you know, there'll be a consequence that he has to endure here within our family. But it won't happen again because, you know, Joe will be on the lookout and I will be too, and we'll go running in front of the pitcher. We have to. Now, he's not going to do that again. I heard he says something like, I played my game. But no, he doesn't. He plays the game of Major League Baseball that respects the game, respects the opponents, and that was not. And he's got to respect the signs. When he gets to take sign, he takes.
So that was Tony La Russa's response 2 nights ago, manager of the White Sox. That's how he saw after one of his players hit a home run in the ninth inning on a 3-0 count when they were already up by 10. I think La Russa's way off on everything he said. I don't think he made a mistake. I don't think he needs to learn a lesson. I don't think he needs to be punished by his team. The only mistake he may have made was the fact that he did miss a sign. If, in fact, the take sign was given and he swung anyways, that's a separate discussion. Even if you did that in the second inning, then something should be said. Something should be done. If you're not following the signs, if you're not looking for the signs, if you're not listening to the signs. Every little league coach, right, gets frustrated. You can relate to that. When your players, your batters aren't looking at the signs, or they forget the signs, or they ignore the signs. Even in little league, that's a problem. So sure, I'll give him that aspect. But not because of the result. Not because he ended up swinging and hitting a home run. That shouldn't be a problem. That shouldn't be punished. That shouldn't be frowned upon. In fact, it shouldn't even be discussed. And the fact that his own manager has an issue with it. And last night, after the Twins threw behind one of his own players, Mercedes, Tony La Russa backed them up with that as well. And I don't have the audio from his press conference yesterday, but I will grab you the quote in which he defended the Twins throwing at one of his own players. Now, it wasn't headhunting, but they threw behind Mercedes. They did it the right way. Threw behind him, you know, around his thighs, threw it low, fastball behind him, and the pitcher was ejected. And La Russa afterwards said that he was fine with it. Let me find the exact quote. He said, I didn't have a problem with how the Twins handled it. What did they do? He tried to get a sinker in. You don't read minds. I'm not going to read their mind. And I also don't second-guess the umpire when it's his judgment. If the ball is thrown at someone's head, you don't give them the benefit of the doubt. So La Russa essentially supporting the Twins. They did it the right way. He's not going to come out and say they were throwing at him. But they did it. They threw a sinker down and in. Hey, just missed his pitch. Defending the other team. And I think that's garbage as well. Let's start first with the player and the act the other night, which is a bunch of nonsense, and it's turned into this what really is a fake controversy. No one should have a problem with a batter swinging at 3-0. You're upset that a batter swung his bat at a pitch that was thrown at him? I mean, what are we doing around here? That's what baseball is. I don't care if you're up by 10 in the ninth inning. I don't care if there's a catcher on the mound. You don't want that catcher to get lit up? Don't put him on the mound. Put an actual pitcher out there who can make some pitches and get some outs. Instead of putting a catcher on the mound signaling that, hey, we're hoisting the white flag, you should too. You take it easy on us because we don't have an actual pitcher out there. That's the risk you run. That's what you sign up for when you decide to do that, when you don't want to burn another bullpen arm. If you want to keep the White Sox from scoring in the ninth inning, maybe you put an actual pitcher on the mound. For the player himself, Mercedes, he's a 28-year-old rookie. He's been in the minor leagues for a decade. So I'll forgive him if he's up there trying to produce, trying to do his job in the big leagues to make sure he stays in the big leagues. And he's having a great rookie year. But this stuff matters, because when it comes to arbitration, when it comes to talking contracts, the way Major League Baseball works is you can't hit free agency until you have 5 years of Major League Baseball service. Until then, even if you're Aaron Judge, you're underpaid, because it's an arbitration case. And you have to go to, essentially, if things get ugly enough, right? You go to it's a court case. You're battling your team. And one home run may not make a difference. But the point being that numbers add up. If every time you're leading by a bunch, you just left your shoulder on your bat, or your bat on your shoulder and struck out, right? That will add up over the end of the year. And when you look at the numbers, that could hurt. And you can guarantee that this same team will hold it against you in that arbitration case to try to pay you less. And say, well, you know, you only had 25 home runs instead of 28. Or you struck out this many times. Your batting average was this number. You deserve this amount. So if I'm Mercedes, I'm trying to perform every time I can. Right, as he said afterwards, I played my game. Tony La Russa said, no, you don't. You play Major League Baseball's game. Well, the game I grew up watching in the sport of baseball is that batters are up there to swing the bat. And it's their job to put the ball in play. And it's the pitcher's job, whoever that pitcher may be, to get them out. Just like Bill Belichick always says in football, it's not my responsibility to stop myself. You don't want me to score a touchdown, right? You don't want the Patriots to score a touchdown? Step up and play some defense and keep them out of the end zone. You don't want the White Sox to score any more runs? You don't want them to hit a home run? You don't want them to swing 3-0? A, don't fall behind 3-0. And B, don't put a catcher on the mound where you want the other team to just take it easy on him and not swing the bat. That's ridiculous. Instead, just put a mercy rule. Right, what are we doing here? We're asking these teams to take it easy in the ninth inning because they're too good. They're winning by too much for a Twins team that, by the way, is a huge disappointment this year and in last place. Now, you have nobody to blame but yourselves for being in that situation, for being that poor this year, for being down by 11 in the ninth inning and having to turn to your catcher. I think it's garbage, and Mercedes should actually be supported instead of condemned by everybody for hitting that home run. That's what you are taught to do as a hitter. I don't care what the score is or what the count is. Go up there and swing the bat. Do your job. And he did it to the highest level by hitting a home run, which is exactly what you should want out of your hitters. And now this takes me back to Tony La Russa, because we saw this last year as well, when I think it was Fernando Tatis Jr. hit a home run, hit a grand slam on a 3-0 count when they were leading late in the game. And Tatis Jr.'s manager, Jay Stengler of the Padres, had to apologize. He publicly apologized afterwards in the press conference, and he blasted his own player. Now Tony La Russa did it as well. And as I teased earlier, I don't know if this is drawing a parallel to society these days, where a lot of times, and we don't need to get into some sort of societal conversation, but, you know, we hear this term cancel culture. It's become a buzzword, and it's thrown around. And a lot of times nowadays, especially on social media, you'll see a lot of people fall in line out of fear for repercussions. They'll just agree with the groupthink. They'll agree with what other people are saying. It becomes, a lot of times, the conversation is simply just an echo chamber. And if you have a differing opinion, we see this a lot in politics, if you have a differing opinion, it doesn't matter what you're actually saying, who you are, what your background is, but if you differ from the main idea or what most people think or just what that person you're talking to thinks, they immediately write you off. And I don't know if it's out of fear for something like that, but the fact that last year, Jay Stengler, this year, Tony La Russa, falls in line and continues to also critique their own player instead of supporting their guy, I think is a bunch of nonsense as well. Tim Anderson, one of the players of the White Sox, commented on social media to Mercedes, telling him to keep doing his thing. One of the pitchers, Lance Lynn, of the White Sox, supported and defended his own teammate, Mercedes, because that's what you should do in a clubhouse or a team. You should have one another's backs. You shouldn't have your manager going out there and publicly talking about putting down one of your players. If they do something wrong, then certainly, that's part of the job. But when they hit a home run, I don't care the score or the situation, a batter's job is to hit a home run. It is to drive in runs, put the ball in play, get on base. And he did that to the highest level and then gets criticized and condemned by his own manager after the game. It happened last year. It just happened this week with Tony La Russa, and I don't get this idea. I want my manager to defend me, to go up there and to support me, to have my back. That's what you want out of your coach. That's what you want out of your boss. Right, take it to your world. If you're a salesman, imagine going out and making a sale. And, you know, you're a good salesman, and you're going out, and you made a nice sale, and you come back. And your boss, instead of congratulating you on making that sale, say you're the best salesman in the company. You've already exceeded your quota. You're nailing it, right? You didn't need that sale, but you went out and you made a sale. And instead of your boss coming in and congratulating you, your boss said to you that that you did a bad job. You did something wrong because you took advantage of, let's say, a vulnerable company or a vulnerable client. Right? You took advantage. Like, think if you're a fan of The Office. Think like the Prince Paper Company. Well, Michael Scott went out there and stole their client list. Now, that's a little bit different. He wasn't making a sale. But, you know, you have a vulnerable client or company that the boss feels you took advantage of to make that sale. Right? How would you feel as a salesman? You went out, you did your job, you did it to the highest level, and you come back and your boss disciplines you. And he says, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have made that sale. Right? It was too easy of a sale. You should have let it go. That client was too vulnerable. Or you've already made too many sales. You shouldn't make any more. Right? That's your job. That's what you're getting paid to do. That's what they should want you to do. And I think this idea in baseball of this, these unwritten rules, the 3-0 counts, the managers putting down their own players publicly, I think is ridiculous. And I'm surprised it's going on from an old-school guy like Tony La Russa, who's 76 years old. I could see some of the younger managers doing it maybe out of fear. But to have Tony La Russa, who's been there and done that, and seems like he's almost untouchable at this point and has been in the game for a long time, and he's almost 80, I would think that he would go up there and wouldn't care what anybody thought, wouldn't care what the Twins thought, what the media thought, what the fans thought. But it seems like these managers now are more concerned about the outrage by the public, by the media, by the other team, than they are actually supporting their own guys in their locker room, who they're trying to team up with to win a World Series this year. Right? You always talk in sports about like rabbit hole guys, right? You want, who do you want in the trenches? Can you trust a guy when the chips are down? You have to be able to trust your teammate, your locker mate, the guy next to you on the offensive line or in the dugout. And when I hear my manager saying that about one of my players, I don't trust him. I wouldn't want to play for him. And Tony La Russa was the latest one to do it with the White Sox this week. I thought it was garbage. I think this whole story is ridiculous. I didn't even want to spend any time on it. But Tony La Russa continues to throw more fuel into the fire, more gasoline to continue to make this a bigger deal. The Twins threw out Mercedes yesterday, and again, he supports the Twins of throwing at one of his own players. I mean, what are we doing here? Step up and defend your guy. That's what a manager should do, instead of putting them down for hitting a home run, because that's what a player should do. When we come back, we'll continue to get ready for the PGA Championship, which begins tomorrow out here at Kiawah. We're at Freshfields Village. We'll be out here all week long getting ready for the 2021 PGA Championship. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Got 'em open all over town. Strictly bitch, you don't play around. Cover much grounds, got game by the town. Getting paid is a forte. Each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind. I think about the girl all the time.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio from Freshfields Village. At Kiawah Island, getting ready for the PGA Championship. So, Blake, we started with, what, Temptations? And it's led us to, on the way, Tracy Chapman to now, what's that, Blackstreet, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we've gotten from the 60s, 70s, 90s, 80s, low at 80s, now we're in 90s.
Yeah.
We'll see where it takes us.
That's right. That's a good one. We had some Michael Jackson earlier. We had, like, the Trick Daddy instrumental. So not bad.
Yeah, hey, the instrumentals. I'm just picking those randomly. Michael Jackson, I think, made the turn from
that. Ah, yes, that makes sense. Stop by the tent here on Freshfields Village to come see us, and you can win a round for a foursome at Stono Ferry. Our coverage of the 2021 PGA Championship is brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. The 2021 PGA Championship begins tomorrow morning. And joining us now and throughout the week is Meredith Taylor. Meredith, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm great. I've been waiting for this week for about a year and a half, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's good to see you again.
You too.
Whenever I see you, I know something's going on in the golf world around here. It's like the relative you only see at Christmas, you know? It's a special occasion.
Must be a golf event going
That's
on.
Right. That's right. So we're happy to have you, and Scott Glaze, of course, will be on the coverage with us all week long. Let's talk about this PGA Championship that begins tomorrow. This course in particular, it's been funny to see the reaction from people as they come into town, the golf media members from nationwide. And as they get here this week, I've seen the number one thing everyone's talking about is the wind, how windy it is, and playing on the water in this course. So what do you expect this week from playing here on Kiawah Island?
Yeah, I mean, the golf world spotlight is back on South Carolina and our gym in the low country of the ocean course. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like I was telling somebody the other day, it's Beauty and the Beast. I mean, it's the most gorgeous property. The views are iconic. And then you tee it up, and it's a beast. Right? So it's quite the test. But you've got 99 of the top 100 mm-hmm. here this week. And so, you know, the best players in the world are going to get exactly what a major championship gives you, which is the toughest test.
Who are you looking forward to seeing most play here this weekend with, as you mentioned, 99 of the top 100 is a great field.
Right.
Who are you looking forward to the most?
Well, I think the big storyline is obviously Rory mm-hmm. Being kind of the defending champ at Kiawah
right.
When he won here in 2012. But then he won 2 weeks ago at Quail Hollow, back in the winner's circle. Momentum and build. I mean, he, you know, when you get to a course that suits your eye and you get to a course you're comfortable with, you got great memories, that's probably somebody who's going to be towards the top of the leaderboard. You look at somebody like Jordan Spieth. He's been talked about a little bit because obviously he got back in the winner's circle again mm-hmm. in Texas, and he's probably been one of the best players since January, really, with his scrambling ability. I think, obviously, with the wind, like you said, it's going to be tough, but his scrambling ability is top of the world. So I'd like him to do well here as well. I mean, you're going to miss greens here. It's inevitable with these conditions. So somebody who's got a great short game and can get it up and down from anywhere is going to do well.
You play the sport, obviously. How important is it for, you mentioned some of those guys, coming in here on the heels of a victory, playing well recently, for an event like this, how important is that on the mental side to be feeling good about
huge.
Your game?
Huge. I mean, it's a confidence thing, mm-hmm. right? I mean, when you're playing in these conditions, you either love it or hate it, and you want to be on the side of, I want the most win possible because that's going to weed out the guys who can't handle it. And with them coming in with wins, momentum is huge. And honestly, just the familiarity with the course, I think with Rory, having those great memories and knowing where to miss it, where, you know, if the wind is just ridiculous and I've got a place that I know I can get up and down from, That course knowledge is going to be helpful too.
What about the wind itself? Well, what type of golfer? You could give specific names
sure.
or type. I mean, who do you think this favors or hurts? What type of golfer could benefit from these conditions?
Yeah, most people think about the long ball hitters, right? But if you're not hitting the fairway, you're in 5 to 6 inch rough. Mm-hmm. Trying to get to greens with that kind of wind is going to be very difficult. So whoever puts on a driving clinic, mm-hmm. meaning accuracy wise, right. you know, obviously the Bryson DeChambeaus are going to be mentioned because they just can crush a golf ball. But like he did at Augusta. At Augusta, he barely hit – I mean, he hit less than 60% of the fairways, and he was tied for 50th. Mm-hmm. And everybody loved him because he could probably overpower the golf course. Well, you have to hit fairways to do that. So if he's having a driving clinic kind of week, and of course he'll be in contention, and the guys like DJ and the long ball hitters, if they're, you know, putting on a driving clinic, then they've got a better chance to take advantage.
Talking with Meredith Taylor, who's joining us all week long. Scott Glaze will be part of our coverage as well, getting ready for the 2021 PGA Championship. Yeah, so, you know, you mentioned 2012 with Rory, and he won this event. That was back in August of 2012. It was almost 9 years ago. He won by a wide margin and shot, I think it was 13 under back then. And 9 years is a big difference because you think back to then. I mean, with Rory, we were talking about could be like the next Tiger Woods, could be the next star of the golf world, and things haven't quite played out that way. And for this course as well, I'm sure things could be different. You know, how much do you take from 2012? How different do you anticipate this weekend being compared to when they were here 9 years ago?
Well, first of all, it's a different time of year.
Mm-hmm.
So very different as far as wind conditions go and the temperature, right?
Right.
So plus they've added a lot to this golf course since then. I think I was reading where they stretched it out. I mean, obviously, this is going to be the longest major championship in history. 78-76 total yardage is what they could tip it out at. But that I think that what they did that for is based on, you know, what the wind is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they've stretched out like 8 holes since 2012. But also that's based on course setup. So if the wind is downwind, they want the ability to move the tees back so it's more of a challenge. And vice versa. If it's dead into the teeth, they're not going to tip it out. They're going to move it up a little bit so it's not ridiculous. Right, so it won't totally play 78-76, I don't think, but that's just so they can set it up where it's the most challenging based upon the wind that day.
Is it the wind? Is there a certain hole that people that even just regular people that have been out in this golf course, they say, oh, that certain hole, right, that's going
right.
to be you know, what's the biggest challenge of this particular course this weekend?
Oh, goodness. It's all a challenge. It's a mental grind, mm-hmm. right? I mean, trying to play this kind of wind at steadily 15, 20 mile an hour winds. Plus, you've got championship pins.
Mm-hmm.
all of it's going to be difficult, but you'll probably hear a lot of coverage on the coverage about 14 and 17, two par threes that are over 230 yards. One's over water, and then you're dead into the wind. The last five holes of this golf course are dead into the wind, mm-hmm. and so that's fun. And then you add in a par three that's over 230 yards into the wind. Yeah. Whew. There's just going to be a lot of drama each and every day on some of these difficult holes.
You'll be hanging out, of course, with us this week. But if you were coming tomorrow, if you were showing up tomorrow as a fan and going to be walking the course, is there a certain grouping, a certain golfer, certain hole? You know, what would you recommend? Who are you following or most interested in seeing here this weekend?
I mean, there's some good ones. Just to throw out a few for people, Colin Morikawa, Bryson DeChambeau, Hideki Matsuyama, the three, you know, most recent major winners mm-hmm. are grouped together. You've got Rory, JT, and Brooks Koepka. I think the question mark for Brooks is he healthy? Because if he is healthy, then he's obviously going to be in the conversation. But because he's not, who knows, you know, if he's 100% healthy. But that's a huge group there. You've got Webb Simpson, Zalatoris, and Spieth. I think that's a great group. And then you got John Rahm, who I think has a chance this week as well because of his length, because of he just plays well in really tough conditions. So I like him. He was playing with Fleetwood and Patrick Reed. And then the last group I would mention to people would be Hovland, Westwood, and Xander Schauffele. Victor Hovland is coming off of consecutive back-to-back tied for third. So he's got a lot of momentum coming in here as well, playing extremely good golf. And then Xander Schauffele, you know, he was in contention at Augusta National
mm-hmm.
up until 16 when he hit it in the water. But, you know, you don't know what that feels like being in contention in a major until you do it. And so I think that's a lot of experience to build on for him. His first 15 majors, he's got 8 top 10s, 6 top 5s. He's an incredible player, and I think this will set up well for him.
You mentioned Colin Morikawa, who is part of that group of the most recent winners. He won the PGA Championship a year ago out in San Francisco. In fact,
yes.
It was just in August. So, you know, different course. It's the same event, the PGA Championship, but on almost the other side of the country. For Colin Morikawa coming into this event, you know, how do you think this lines up with him? How do you think he fares this week?
I like him this week, too. He hadn't missed a cut since October.
Hmm.
His iron play, again, this is a second shot golf course. You'll hear us say that a lot. But it's true. It's that second shot, and his iron play is stellar. He's had four top tens since October. So, yeah, coming into form and having a golf course where it's going to, you know, iron play is a premium, I think he'll do really well here as well.
I was reading an article this morning about Jason Day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jason Day at one time was the number one player and hasn't had as many wins certainly of late as maybe people were expecting. What about somebody like Jason Day? Give us just like a, you know, a scouting report. How has he been faring lately, and what do you expect from him this week?
I don't know. That's another one of those question marks. Like I said, with Brooks being that he came off knee surgery. I've had knee surgery and, you know how difficult that is because you're loading so much onto that knee. I just don't know about Brooks, and I don't know about Jason either. You know, the past year, I feel like he's been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, when you're the top 100 in the world, everybody's got a shot when you tee it up.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, how you're going to fare in this wind that's about to take us off off right now. But, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Patience is going to be key. And fairways and greens, it's really simple, but it's difficult to do.
You may have already touched on a few golfers. You know, whenever we talk about really any sport, you always talk about sleepers.
Right.
I like to ask the opposite, though. Not sleepers, but golfers that are maybe big names. As
right.
you said, we got a lot of big names this week, 99
sure.
of the top 100. Who are some big names? You've mentioned some guys that there are some questions around. But who are some big names that you think won't have much luck here this weekend?
Ooh, that's a good question. Gosh, I mean, you know, I love ooh, I hadn't thought about this one.
Put you on the spot.
You did. That threw me for a curveball. Well, I love Kevin Kisner, and he's from South Carolina, mm-hmm. but I don't know that he has the length to withstand 15 to 20-mile-an-hour winds on this beast of a golf course. So you got the Zach Johnsons that are short hitters. It's just going to be, I think, difficult for them to fare well this week.
We heard earlier here on the show, and if you ever miss anything on the show, you can always catch on the man ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. But we played the press conference earlier from Dustin Johnson, obviously South Carolina guy, one of the top golfers in this event this weekend. So for Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, he's number one in the world.
Right. So for number one, Dustin Johnson returning here to South Carolina, that's a popular storyline. What do you think for DJ and how he's been playing?
A fan favorite always when he comes back to South Carolina, and he's only a couple hours from where he played college mm-hmm. golf. But, yeah, it's a question mark. I don't know how he's going to do. I think if anybody can do it, you know, being in home turf and back around his home state, knowing this golf course really well, it's just a matter of execution at that point.
Before we let you go, talking with Meredith Taylor, I put you on the spot, so let me go back to what I was kind of setting up and then threw a curve at you, but sleepers, because that's how I phrased that, you know, that was how I set it up originally.
Right.
So some sleepers, because we know the big names.
Sure.
Do you have some sleepers this weekend that you think could surprise some people?
Yeah, I mean, nobody's talking about Webb Simpson or Tommy Fleetwood, guys that are just incredible iron players, so
mm-hmm.
again, that's going to be at a premium this week, so those are two that I would say would be sleepers to me.
Well, we'll hear plenty from you throughout the week, and obviously on Fan Talk as well. We'll be out here Saturday and Sunday as well. She's Meredith Taylor. Good to have her back on our airwaves. We'll come back and wrap up your Wednesday afternoon when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up your Wednesday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts, or online at charlestonsportsradio.com. And while you're there, you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com or through the free TuneIn Radio app. or even through your Alexa now, your smart speaker. Tell Alexa to play us, and she will politely oblige. Online at charlestonsportsradio.com is where you can find the podcast. You can leave a message for the show or listen to us from anywhere in the world. 25 hours of coverage here from the PGA Championship starting, well, right now, this afternoon with you. We'll have special shows this weekend. Scott Glaze and Meredith Taylor will be with us all week. And you can stop by our tent for a chance to win a round of for a foursome at Stono Ferry. Our coverage all weekend long of the 2021 PGA Championship is brought to you by Starling Chevrolet, I Promise, I Vitamins, and Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island. Parking for the tournament is over here at Freshfields Village. You can take shuttles to the golf course, and a walking path has been created between the parking area and Freshfields Village. So before or after you go out for some golf this weekend, you can come by, get something to eat here at the restaurants, check out the shops. They got ice cream over here, and you can come see us as well and have a chance to win some things from us. We'll be out here all week long, do our show tomorrow and Friday, have special shows Saturday and Sunday as well. And you can head on over to freshfieldsvillage.com for more details and updates all week long on what is going on. They have live music and entertainment each and every night. Tonight, if you're in the area, if you're coming out here, it's Shag Night on the Dock. So that'll get you excited to come on out here for that tonight going on. Get something to eat. Go to Shag Night on the Dock. Come by, see us. Fan Talk's coming up in just a few moments. And we'll be out here all week long through Sunday, through the moment they crown a champion at the PGA Championship here this year. We've been talking about it throughout the afternoon, and we'll continue to do so. Rory McIlroy, who won here about 8 years ago, is the favorite, followed by John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, and Jordan Spieth. We heard from DJ earlier this afternoon, the number one player, and, of course, the South Carolina native as well, and will be one of the guys that everyone will be focusing on here this week for the PGA Championship. Outside of the golf world, the play-in round continues tonight with John Morant against, essentially, you bill it as Greg Popovich. And I don't think Popovich will lose to a younger Grizzly team in the play-in round. The Lakers are favored by 4.5. I would take the Lakers to win outright. I would take them to cover the spread against the Warriors, but I think it'll be a fun game tonight. I don't think Steph Curry has enough to be able to try to get past them. And the Lakers, when healthy, we know, are one of the better teams in the league. The play-in round will be something that LeBron and the Lakers could look back on as actually an advantage, something that you may dislike at first. We ran through a bunch of them on the show yesterday. Everyone always doubts the new ideas, the new inventions. But for the Lakers, this gives them a chance to hit their stride, to get their feet wet before jumping right into a playoff series, even if that playoff series comes against the Suns. I'm looking forward to that game tonight, 10 o'clock on ESPN between the Lakers and the Warriors. And regardless of what happens, we will be here tomorrow to break it all down. We'll be back out here tomorrow and Friday from Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island getting ready for the 2021 PGA Championship. Plenty of golf talk this week. But, of course, everything else going on, we'll get to it as well in the sports world. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston and you will find us there. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we have to say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon here from the Freshfields Village on Kiawah Island for the 2021 PGA Championship. It'll be off and rolling by then. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. It's the Tomorrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.